I'm excited to be here with you today. We're going to jump into a continuation of what we talked about last week, which is how to spend time with God. And out of all the messages that I've ever done, I would say I got more response from last week than any of the other messages I've ever done in my life. And all I was simply doing was sharing with you out of my quiet time how I spend time with God. Because there was a particular time in my life when I grew up, I was saved. I had a relationship with God. I was bought by the blood of Jesus. I was a son of God, but I didn't have fellowship with God. And I'd hear people say, well, I heard from God today, or God told me this or that. And I thought, am I saved? I must not be as saved as them. You know, that's how we think in the South. But then it realized on me, I'm saved. I just don't know how to spend time with him. I don't know how he talks to me. I don't know how to talk to him until one day my parents sat me down and they said, here's how you spend time with God. And I realized there's a lot of people that are sons or daughters, and you may be like I was. You said, man, I know I'm saved. I bought the fire insurance. But man, I don't know God like what I hear other people knowing God. And so if someone taught me that, I feel led to teach you this. So this is not a set in stone method. You may have a method that's better than mine. I'm very ADD, so you'll find that out real quick when I tell you what I do. You may be OCD. You may need a more of a formatted plan. This is not a catch-all, but I'm just going to load you up and just give you everything that I know about how today to get the most out of your Bible. How to get the most out of your Bible. So that when you're reading your Bible, you can get the most. So you're going to want to take out either the app, the notes. There should be a QR code right in front of your seat. And you're going to want to take notes, or you're going to want to bring out your Evernote, or if you've got someone with a shiny head beside you, like mine, if you want to ask for permission and write on that, you're going to want to take notes because it's just a lot here, okay? But we're going to continue this, and the reason why I want to teach you this is what I said last week, that God's greatest desire, this is just wonderful, God's greatest desire, think about this, his greatest desire is to have a personal relationship with you. And that ought to solve every insecurity problem you have, everything in your life. I mean, God, who could desire anything, wants to be with you. Did you know that the reason you're here, by the way? The reason you're here is God wants to have a relationship with you. The reason he sent his son Jesus to die for our sins is because God wants to have an eternal relationship with you forever and ever and ever. God loves you, okay? And so last week we talked about how to have a quiet time and how to have time with God. We covered a proper place. You got to have a proper place. We covered how to prepare our hearts. We talked about how to pray to a holy God. We learned that prayer was us talking to God, and the Bible is God talking to us. And so when we jump into this deal today about how to get the most out of your Bible, I do have people sometimes say this, you mean God still speak? And I'll say, absolutely. Do you mean he just speaks to the preachers? No. He wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to every one of his children. But the main way he speaks is through his word. And there's many people that are frustrated because they're trying to meditate and they're trying to hear from God and they get in their quiet space and they're, and they're like, am I hearing my voice? Or is it God's voice, or is it just the bad burrito? That's not how you hear from God. I love what Rick Warren says. He says it this way, stop listening for a voice and start looking for a verse. See, God's already spoken an awful lot about everything that we will go through in this life, and he will tell you what you need to do if we start looking for a verse. So if you're going to get the most out of your Bibles, number one, if you're writing things down, have a readable Bible. Get a readable Bible. Habakkuk 2:1 says this. It says, I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. Now, why did Habakkuk say, I will wait to see? Why didn't he say, I will wait to hear? Because God in his sovereignty knew that one day the word of God would be complete and we would need to look for what God says. Okay? And so where you will find the will of God will always be in the word of God. Matter of fact, you cannot find the will of God for your life unless you get in the Word of God. It's so important that you get a good translation that you can easily understand. How many of you ever went to Grandma's house and they got a big old thick family Bible that you know ain't nobody read but probably Grandma in 70 years? You ever seen one of those? And maybe you peeked in it like me as a child. You peeked in it and looked at it and y'all saw thou and these and all kind of stuff. You said, I don't know what to say. You finally came to the conclusion that thou don't understand a thing, you know? The reason I say pick out a translation that you can understand is it's more important that you understand what's going on in the Bible than you have a Bible that you can't understand a thing, right? You got to understand it. So here's some of the translations that I use. Now, there's many great options, but here's just some. These are just suggestions. The New King James Version or an NASB, a New American Standard Version. Okay, now I know that sounds like Greek, but we've got all this in the bookstore, and within a few weeks we're going to have a whole pamphlet on what every Bible is, how you can use them, what they mean. The reason I like the NKJV, the New King James Version, or the NASB or NABSEB, whew, that's a lot of NASBs, ain't it? Is this? They're closest to the original language, but they're more readable. That's all. That's what I like. They're closest to the original King James Version, but they're more readable. I'll even go a step further. You know, a lot of preachers wouldn't say this, but I really like an NLT. I like a New Living Translation. I like an NIV. I even like an ESV. I know that sounds weird, but boy, I like them all. It's like a diamond just taken where you can look at it and you can see. Because it's not like exclusivity. It's like if you get an NLT, you can never go read your King James Version. What I do sometimes is I'll spread out a couple of these Bibles. I'll have an NLT and an NSAB, and I'll read them, and I'll get all kind of glimpses on the story, and then I'll go back to the New King James and go, okay, I was understanding it. Now I see what thou meant, right? And so I like that, and we've got plenty of those, and I'm going to share it with you about it, but I collect Bibles. Now, you're going to have some people that get overzealous about this. You're going to run into some religious people not here. For some reason, I don't know, ultra-religious people I just kind of repel. I don't know why, but I do. But you're going to run into some overzealous religious people that say, I can't believe that he recommended an NLT, or he recommended an NIV. I can't believe that. And look, you can always go back to the King James Version. Here's what I want you to understand. Don't make them make you feel less of a Christian because you read something you can understand. Don't make them feel less of a Christian because you have a readable Bible. Remember the Pharisees were all around the Word, yet they missed the Word in flesh, which was Jesus. And so don't let them feel less than. The Bible, if you think about it, was written in three different languages. Hebrew, it was written in Aramaic, it was written in Greek. And did you know that there is 11,280 words, different words in three different languages, just the word. Now, not total, there's a lot more than that, obviously, but different words in those three languages. The English language only has 6,000 words. So the reason I like reading different translations is so that I can get a different view. It's way more words. If we're going to have less words, I need a little bit more view. I'll need more, a little bit more explanation, okay? I would say this, get a physical Bible. I know we live in an electronic era. There are some great Bibles out here, the YouVersion, Bible Act, all kind of stuff. That's great. But for your time with God, you may disagree, but I don't like this for my time with God. You know why? This is the master of distraction. No, it is, isn't it? You can be thinking you're talking to God, and then a text comes through, and now you're talking to Susie. Thinking you're talking to God, and then, well, let me just get a little bit of that Instagram, Facebook. I don't like this. I want something I can mark up. I want something that's got a little peanut butter and jelly on it. I want that, okay? Leave this, and we're going to talk about that later, but leave that out. That's good to snap a photo of, good if you're in the airport, good if you're, you know, you read. But you need a physical Bible, okay? Now, if you don't have a good physical Bible, we have the largest selection right over here in the lodge, right next door. The number one thing that we wanted to have is the biggest selection of great Bibles. I went to a friend of mine who owned a Christian bookstore for many years. I said, what I want to have? He said, what do you want? I said, I want the best Bibles in the whole Southeast. He said, that's going to be expensive. I said, I don't care. He said, but some of these are going to be $50. Some of these are going to be $60. Some of these are going to be $70. I said, I want Bibles that nobody can get their hands on. I want the best of the best. He said, are you saying that I have an open checkbook to get the best Bible? Because this guy loves Bibles. He loves Bibles. But I said, you got it. Go get them. So he was like a kid in a candy store. And he went and he got all kind of Bibles. So we have the best of the best. I mean, we've only got a few copies of some of them. We've got something called the Jesus Bible. You know how I say when you read your Bible, look for Jesus? It shows you where Jesus is at in almost every single chapter. It's pretty cool. We've got a teen Bible. If you're a teen, we've got them suited for that. We've got this one, which is the number one selling one, I believe, in the world right now for children, called the Adventure Bible. Fantastic to get the Word of God in your children's hearts. We've got the New Believer's Bible written by a great evangelist, Greg Lowry. We give this out to all those who are just gave their life to Christ. If you cannot afford a Bible and you're in a spot where you can't afford one, I'll give you this one, okay? We give this to new believers, all right? It's a great Bible. We've also got Bibles. Now, this is my favorite now. I'm biased. Here's an NLT right here, and we've got, if the camera can zoom in, it's got commentary on the Bible, on the bottom. So what that means is that's comments from scholars on the bottom of what that verse means. Now, it doesn't have every verse, but some of the verses that are hard to understand, it tells you. So how many of you have ever read the Bible? You don't know how to understand it. Sometimes you get to a spot, you say, I have no clue what it's saying. This is a cheat code. You go, now I know how to say. And your friend, you know, on Facebook, asks, what is this? You don't know what that means. Hold on real quick. Well, let me tell you in the Greek what that means. That means this, okay? This is good stuff. So get you a good study Bible. Ooh, you'll love it. It'll change your life, I promise you. All right, so get a good readable Bible. All right, I feel like Forrest Gump up here. We got gumbo shrimp, we got bowl shrimp, fried shrimp, shrimp Creole. We got them. Hey, and if we ran out, because you're the last service, if we ran out of stuff, guess what else we got? We got something called an order form. And you can just put in what you want, and we'll call you when it's here, okay? And so get a good readable Bible. Now, the next thing when you get a good readable Bible, you got to know, when and where do you read? That's what I get asked a lot. When and where do I read, okay? Well, let me answer this. Make it a priority to read the Word of God daily. Daily, okay? The best that this is on the weekend, the best sermon I can give you, I've told you this before, is an appetizer. You want to be so fired up and rooted into your faith that you're reading every single day. Now listen, you don't have to overcomplicate it. It can be 5 minutes. It can be 10 minutes. But what's going to happen is you're going to get an appetite and you're going to want to start waking up a little bit earlier, reading more, waking up a little bit earlier, reading more. You're going to say, man, I can't wait till I get home so I can finish what I was reading. That was interesting. So you can't read the Word of God and not start getting an appetite for it, all right? And so that's how that works. You don't have to set it in time and say, I've got to read this amount of time. Just start where you're at. Start small, okay? Now, here's what you're going to need to know before you even ever read a word. It is not a reading assignment, and it is not a race. We live in an era where we are obsessed with the one-year reading. Read the Bible in a year, aren't we? I know we got quiet because most of y'all are reading that. That's okay. That's a great overview of the Bible. If you've never read the Bible before, that's a great overview, okay? But I'm not a big fan, and I want to tell you today, slow down. Slow down, because if you're stuck and locked in having to read 3 chapters a day, you may have missed what God wanted you to say in verse 2. Yeah, but God, I checked it off. Yeah, but I wanted to talk to you in verse 2. So slow down. It's not a reading assignment. Just slow down. It's a heavenly father wanting to talk to his son or daughter. Don't you want to hear from God? I know you're OCD. I know you want to check it off. But don't you want to say, God, I heard from you more than, hey, I read. God ain't going to say, look at that. They read it through in a year. Good for you. He's going to say, man, I just want to spend time with you. I want to talk to you. You missed it over because of your agenda, so slow down. Remember this. The purpose of reading the Bible, the Word of God, is to know God. And it's to be instructed by Him. But if we're zipping through it like we do everything in life, we're going to miss what God has for us in our life. He wants to teach us. Something I do that you may, I mean, this is going to drive you OCD people crazy. I'll open my Bible and say, God, show me where you want me to read today. Pull my finger, show me where you want me to read today, but to the right spot. And I'll turn over here and I just don't feel like the Holy Spirit's leading me there. So I'll go here and I'll read this. But that's just how I work. I let the Holy Spirit just kind of guide me. Again, this is not, it might not be the best way for you. This is just what works for me, okay? I'm just letting you inside of my quiet time and telling you how I do it, okay? You may have something better for your life that works better, all right? Here's something else that I want you to know. I read like the Proverbs every day for wisdom. I'll read Psalms. I'll read a little bit of the Old Testament and, of course, the New Testament. I never read a devotional or any other book before I read the Word of God. Never, 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 never. We've gotten obsessed with devotionals. Now, devotionals are great. I'm writing a devotional, okay? Jesus may come back before I finish it, but I'm writing one. But a devotional oftentimes will be after I've read the Word of God. Oftentimes, how many of you have done this? It confirms what I just read. I go, golly, that's what I just read. And it's God's way of saying, see, I told you. But never let that devotional take place of the Word of God. See, when you read the Word of God, you're having a literal one-on-one time with Jesus. When you're not, you may be having a time with that author or this author, but when you read the Word of God, you're having a one-on-one time with Jesus. So the majority of your time needs to be spent in the Word of God, because that is having a one-on-one time with Jesus. Now, if you wonder, what's an overview of the Bible? What does that mean? I mean, the whole of it, when you read the Bible, of course, look for Jesus, but the Bible is this. It's a story that has one villain, Satan, one problem, sin, one solution, salvation, and one hero, Jesus. That's a synopsis of the whole Bible, okay? So here's why I say slow down. When you read your Bible, you want to say, what is he saying to others in this passage? Why was he teaching others this? What is he trying to tell me? See what you're doing there? What was he teaching others? Why was he teaching that? What does he tell me? And I don't care if you want to pull out your phone and take photos. I know this is a lot of information. Let me share with you how I started reading my Bible. Let's look at where in the Bible do you start. You say, okay, Brent, I get that. Where, but where in the Bible do you start? I'll just tell you where I started. I was 12 years old. My father came to me, and he realized that I had an interest in finances. Matter of fact, by the time I was 14 years old, I was so obsessed with wanting to be wealthy, I don't know if I was going to be an accountant or whatever, that he literally took me to Merrill Lynch and dropped me off at the president of Merrill Lynch's office and said, spend time with him once a week. So for a while there, I spent time with him. And he was the one that benefited, because he said, come back and tell me what you learned. So he learned all about investing, because he dropped his 14-year-old off there, okay? But I was obsessed. I read all the Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich. I read all the Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I wanted to be wealthy. So I'm reading these books, and my dad tricked me. He's good. He said, he's wise. He knows where he's going. He tricked me, y'all. He said, I know you've read Napoleon Hill and all this. Look, Brent, you want to be wealthy in life? I mean, he just hooked, line, and sinker us. Yes, yes, sir. And he leaned in like it was a secret. He even whispered, listen, there's a book that the richest person in the world wrote. And you can read it every single day, and you can hang out with the richest person in the world. I said, are you kidding me? I said, how rich? He said, richer than the computer guy. Now, back days, we didn't know Bill Gates. We just knew him as the computer guy, okay? Because we had floppy disk. Anybody remember a floppy disk? How about that Oregon Trail? You remember that Oregon Trail? Oh, we do got some old people. Remember that young people were going, Oregon Trail, Google. You might not even find it on Google. We were just getting that cart. We were just happy to pull that wagon, weren't we? I said, richer than a computer guy? He said, yeah, richer than Michael Jordan. I had Jordans on. I said, richer than Jordan. But then here's where he got me. He knew I was an old school wrestling fan. He said, richer than Ric Flair. Oh, it got me. I said, you mean richer than the limousine riding, jet flying, kiss stealing, wheeling, dealing, son of a gun that's having a hard time holding these alligators down? Woo! I said, are you kidding me? And he had me he reeled me in. I said, tell me where it's at. He said, watch this. And he opened the middle of his Bible. He said, it's called Proverbs. Now, he's still whispering. I'm like, yeah, okay. He said, the Queen of Sheba came and see all his wealth one day. I said, are you kidding me? He said, watch this. He pulled out a calendar in those days. This is before iPhone. He said, there's 31 days, mostly, in most months. Watch this, Brent. There's 31 of these. If you read the first on the first, if you read the second on the second, third on the third, you could read the wealthiest guy in the world and get advice all year long. You would have read his book 12 times in a year. Y'all, I was sucked in. I mean, I was sucked in so much when my brothers would walk in on me and I'm reading this book. They'd walk in the room and I'd I'd turn over Revelation. What you reading? Just reading Revelation. No, and I can't understand Revelation back then. Just about the brimstone and the fire. And, you know, I like dragons. And you know a dragon came up out of the sea? And then when they leave, get back in there because I wanted to know all this wisdom. That's how I started learning. So I want to say that one of the easiest ways, young people, you can read is read the book of Proverbs. Because here's what my dad did. He tricked me. I wanted wealth. But then what happened is I fell in love with something else. I fell in love with wisdom. See, the book of Proverbs gives you a lot of wealth advice, but it's wisdom for everyday life. How many of you believe that decisions shape the direction of your life? How many of you believe that decisions shape destiny? This gives you wise wisdom to make wise decisions every single day. So I fell in love with not wealth, but I fell in love with wisdom. And I read the verses that says wisdom is more precious than rubies and gold. And so I began a lifelong pursuit of wisdom. Now I'm almost 40 years old now, okay? I started doing this when I was 12 years old. In a couple days, I'll be 40. If you want to drop off your present, you can. What I thought about doing is just sitting out here at the water fountain and y'all can just drop it off. And I'll just wave, okay? And if you feel led to get me a Bronco, that's okay. I am totally kidding with you. If you're new to church, I'm very sarcastic, okay? I have a very, what do they call it, a dry sense of humor. I'm totally joking. Can't believe he told his congregation to drop off presents at the waterfall. And he told them to bring him a Bronco and the Lord would bless them for it. I did not say that. I won't take your Bronco. I got a fine car of my own. But if you want to give it to me, I'd be all right. All right. Here's what happened. 12 years old, I'm almost 40. That's 10,220 days that I have sat down with Solomon. 10,220 days with the wisest man in the world. 10,220 days that God, it's better than just Solomon. God spoke through Solomon. You spend 10,000 days with someone, how many of you believe that'll change your life? To the good or bad? To the good or bad, but luckily I was listening to the Word of God, and now I look back, and what happened is I began to outgrow some friends because we didn't think alike. What happened is I began to gain wisdom. What happened is my best friends began to be old people. No joke. Some of my five best friends are over 65 years old, and I hold back. You know, like when I'm around certain people, I hold back because I have wisdom to give them, but they don't want to hear it. And they're not asking for it. So I think, well, but I just hung out with Solomon for 10,220 days. Now what happened after that is my father had another heart attack because the church world is difficult. And the board of directors came and said, would you sell your for-profit company? Which is hard because remember, I liked money. It wasn't a healthy habit, but I loved my father more. I said, if my father needs help, of course. And I came on and they said, oversee the staff and oversee the finances. And we had $5.2 million worth of debt. We are now debt free. Totally debt free. And I began to look around before I did this message. You know, the five couples around me are debt free. And then I began to look around and I text the accountant and they're up in Indiana. And I said, hey, how much do we give to missions each year? I'm talking about how much do we give each year globally and locally? They said $2 million a year. To missions, and every dollar of that is to reach lost people. We don't give the stuff, can you give to this drive, we don't do all that. We give if it's going to reach lost people. And I look at that and you might think, man, he is so smart. I'm not. I promise you I'm not. But I hung out with Solomon for 10,220 days. And it'll rub off on you. So I want to say, if you'll just get alone in your Bible with Solomon, just that alone will change your life because it's God's word on how to make wise decisions. And then years later, I came to my dad. I said, hey, I like the Solomon thing. You got anything else for me? Because he suckered me in with wealth, but he got me with wisdom. He said, Brent, read the book of John. I said, deal. 7 months, I read the book of John. I'm a slow reader, I know. You say 7 months, I'm a slow reader, okay? It's taking it in. Came back to my father. I said, Dad, I read the book of John. Got anything else for me? He said, go back and read John again. just read it. Did I miss something? So I'm like, here we go, back to the study. So I did it in 6 months. Read the book of John. Came back to my father. Dad, I've read John twice. What do you want me to read next? Matthew, Mark, Luke? I've been peeking over there at 2 Timothy. I'd like to get a little bit of that too, you know. Brent, go read John. Huh? Say, you mean James? John? No, go read John, but this time read it with a commentary. I'm going to tell you what that is in a minute. I said, okay. He goes verse by verse. Old John R. Rice commentary. Old dusty old commentary. Goes verse, explains verse by verse. Took me 1 year to read verse by verse through John. Should have got a plaque. I mean, my goodness. The guy gave me the hardest book in the world to read beside John. I come back. I said, I read John and John. I read John R. Rice and I read John. Dad, what do you want me to do? What do you think his answer was? Read John. And he gave me another commentary. Read John again. Another year. Now, granted, this is years in the book of John. I said, I got a way to get out of this. I'm an outsmart old man. I said, Dad, I feel led to go to seminary. You know why I feel led? So I could read another book of the Bible other than John. I said, Dad, I read they got hermeneutics. They've got all kind of stuff. What do you recommend I take? You got it, buddy. John. And I look back and I'm grateful for my father, because you can be an inch deep and a mile wide, or you can grow some roots. And the reason I'm going to give you the good stuff today, we ain't done, we're just getting started. The reason I'm giving you the good stuff today is I want you to have some roots. Because how many of you know when the storms of this life come, when you hear the word cancer, when your son or daughter rebels and walks out on you, when you get betrayal, when you get fired from the job, when you have a loved one die, it ain't going to be some cotton candy preacher that encourages you, that keeps you. It's going to be the word of God. That's what keeps your life. And so he taught me that the word of God is what does it. And that's how I got started reading the word of God. All right? And we can read the Word of God together as a group here. Do you know that we got something called Cascade U? We go through all 66 books of the Bible. If you say, I'd like to study the book of the Bible, but I'd like to do it with a group, we've got some vetted teachers to go through all. I walked through the auditorium the other day. There was about 50 women in there. About 50, and I looked through there, and it made me so happy. It was on Friday. A Friday, I walked through there, and there was about 50 women, and I'm looking, and I said, this one had cancer. This one lost her husband. This one so-and-so. And I could just see what they've been through. But I said, here they are on a Friday meeting and learning the Word of God. See, that's what you want. That's why we offer all that, okay? So take advantage of it. Get in one of those groups. Now, I'm about to give you one of my secret sauces to understand the Word of God, okay? This is one of the things I was excited about, these next 2 points. Most preachers would never give you this. What I'm about to give you is my own stuff, okay? I'm about to give you all my own stuff. And the reason most preachers would never give you this is they want to be the smartest person in the room. The reason I give you this is I know I'm not the smartest person in the room. I don't care about being the smartest person in the room or trying to be. I care about equipping the saints. I care about you. I don't want to bottle feed you. Get your milk from Pastor Brent. No, I want you to be like, Pastor Brent, that's great, but I already read that last week. Great that you confirmed me, but I'm already there. So the point two, if you're writing things down, is to learn to read your Bible with a vetted commentary. We've got these in the lodge as well. Let me share with you what a commentary is. I'm going to get a couple of them. A commentary is a scholar who spent most of his life studying the Bible as a whole, studying the historical backgrounds behind it, and he tells you verse by verse what it means. I'm telling you, about to change your life. We've got like this. When I talked about going through John, we've got Warren Wisby. He's got just about every book of the Bible over there. If you want to go through John, take this, and he will walk you through every verse of the Bible. We've also got his big volumes, which are just about all of his other volumes, all in one, the Old Testament and New Testament, okay? And so what you can do is if you say, I don't know what that means, you open it up, and he tells you what it means. And he tells you in a readable way where you can understand it. And then you can understand passages that you never understood, so that therefore you can understand what God is saying in your life and what he did there. We've also got another one. I had to take this one in seminary or use this one a lot. This is Dr. John Phillips. He's a Luther Rice grad as well. Go LRU. This is fantastic. We've got every book of the Bible in there for this. So those are what commentaries are. I will say a few things on this, and I want to help you with this. Do not ever read these before you read your Bible. Read your Bible first. Write down what God says to you. Write down what you think it means. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Then once you've wrote it down, then go. And what you will find is that he confirms the Word of God, or that you were trying to make the Word of God say something that it didn't say. All right? I want to tell you something very important. Listen up here. Do not let this commentary take place of your Bible. Do not do it. A commentary is just comments on the Bible. It's not the Bible. It's meant to help you understand the Bible, not to replace the Bible. I know two people that went two different directions. One person, I gave them a commentary. The reason I gave him is he kept driving me crazy with questions. He kept calling me, asking me all these stupid questions. How many angels can sit on the head of a pin? And I spent 30 minutes saying, I don't know. It ain't in the Bible. I got tired of his questions, and I bought him $120 worth of commentaries and said, here, don't call me. Just read. Here's what happened to him, though. The last time I heard from him, he said, man, I just love that stuff so much, I'm not even reading my Bible anymore. I'm just reading it, and it's got the Bible verses, you know, in there some, too. So I'm just reading it. I just love it. Anything that gets away, you away from your Bible is not your friend. I got another friend that's been studying the Bible for 30 years. I gave it to him. 30 years of spending reading the Bible. I said, I want to introduce you to something. This is going to change your quiet time. And he loves it. He said, Brent, thank you. That brought my quiet time to a whole different level. I want to teach you something. The Bible says knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. One of my friends, knowledge puffs up, right? It puffs up. It makes you proud. I'm intellectual. I know stuff nobody else knows. It puffs up, and you have pride. Love edifies. How you will know if you're correctly having time with God is you will become more loving, because you will understand the grace that we do not deserve that he gave us. You will understand the whole Old Testament, that, wow, we couldn't make it. We need a Savior, but he sent a Savior. You will understand it. And what happens is, you got to understand this. When you become more like God, you become more loving. And that's how you're going to know if this stuff is working. Yes, God has knowledge. God knows all things. But what is God? There you go. Love. So if you're becoming more loving, you're using it correctly. But don't let that take place of your Bible. Let it be read afterwards to help you understand your Bible. Now, third thing. You ready? These are very, very important, okay? Write down what God speaks to you. Write down what God speaks. I'm blown away by people that have time with God and they don't bring a pen or paper. It tells me this. If you don't have a pen or paper in your time with God, you're not expecting to hear from God. It's almost as if this, you had this, young people, you had this beautiful girl that wanted to date you. She's fine. She got the jeans. She's got the boots with the fur. You got everybody looking at her. She hit the floor. No. Shot a guy. Oh, Lord. I just want to make sure there's no cuss words in. And let's say she liked you. And she said, I'm going to call you at 6. And you said, okay. But I ain't turning on my phone. I can't wait till she called me. Ooh, we're going to go on a date. You see them boots for that fur boy. But I ain't going to bring my phone. Well, then you ain't going to get a call. Right? If we're going to get in the Word of God, we got to write it down. For many reasons, we've got to write it down. I love what Adrian Rogers says. Dr. Adrian Rogers says it this way. The weakest ink is better than the best memory. Isn't that true? We got to remember what God said to us. I promise you this. When you go through difficulty, you'll want to open up that journal and say, wow, but God told me this. But when you go through seasons of silence, how many of you went through seasons of silence where God hasn't spoken? When he hasn't spoken, oftentimes it's because he's wanting us to trust the last thing that he said. When he hasn't spoken, oftentimes it's because we haven't done the last thing that he said. And when we go back to the last thing he says is, trust me in all things, you go, okay. It doesn't mean sometimes you're in trouble or God's mad at you, he's not talking to you, he's saying go back. But how can you go back if you didn't write it down, because you can't remember, right? And so you want to be able to write it down, what God speaks to you. And when you write it down, one beautiful thing about this is not only is it confirmation, but you get to study it more. And I'm gonna give you some other stuff. You want some more stuff? You like that? You need this? Okay, if you don't, you can walk out. It's all right. But those who want to hear from God, you can stay. Okay? When you write it down, you get to do something. You run it through the three C's. Look at context. You get to study it more. Look at context. Write that down. What did this passage mean during their time? What does it mean with the scriptures next to it? This is important. Before or after? If not, you can just make the Bible say whatever you want it to say. You can look at it, what Jesus said in Matthew. He says, tell the vision to no man. You can be like that man that says, see, television is for no man. You'll get that tomorrow. Look at it in its context. Look at your current situation. Okay? That's the next C. If there's a general principle that God wants to show you from the text, you want to look at it and say, is there a general principle in here that God wants to show me from the text? And now here's the most important. Look at the cross. Look at the cross. After the cross, what does this mean for me? See, this is why this is important, guys, that you write this down. After the cross, what does this mean for me? The Old Testament law, it helps you understand that. The Old Testament law was a guide, okay? The Bible talks about that, Romans 3:20. It was a guide to show us how sinful we are, how holy God is, and that we could never measure up. No matter how hard we tried, we could never, ever, ever measure up. We could never kill enough animals for sacrifice. We just kept sinning and sinning. We could never do it. But then a new agreement came in the New Testament. It shows us the Old Testament, our need for a Savior. The New Testament shows us our Savior. His name is Jesus. He came with a new agreement. He came through the blood that was spilt on the cross. He gave us grace from God, and we can't understand that unless we write it down and say, let me look at the cross and see what this means to me. If you don't look at the cross, you'll say, well, I can never have a tattoo, according to Leviticus. I can't wear certain clothing. Uh-oh, I've got cotton on. I mean, there's all kind of stuff you can't do. I can't eat pork. Can you imagine living in the South? You can't eat pork. I wouldn't make it to heaven. I love barbecue. You got to look at the cross, okay? So why do you write it down? Another reason you write it down is the Bible tells you to. Watch this. I will meditate on your precepts. That's the word. I will meditate. That doesn't mean, You know what that means? In our terms, that means chew on it. I'll chew on that word all day. Just like a cow. My father-in-law has a cow. A cow has four stomachs. You ever notice a cow will eat grass, spit it out, and he'll eat it again. Spit it out, eat it again. And then it'll do something interesting. It'll go to the next stomach. And then the third stomach, and then the fourth. One of the stomachs is made for nothing but just catching trash. Like if he, happened to have a piece of paper or plastic in there, it gets that out. The other one's for nutrients. You're ready to chew on the Word of God. That means throughout the day, if you ever see me with this leather binder, I'm holding on to the Word of God. I'll go into meetings sometimes, I'll be honest. I'm supposed to lead, and people are looking for me to answers. And they're looking for me to mentor them. And I wake up, and the enemy has attacked me, and I just don't feel worthy. And they think I'm writing down notes or looking at notes. I'm looking at the Word of God. As you are, so is He. For therefore, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus, those who belong in Christ Jesus. I'll be reading those to myself, what God gave me that morning. If you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. All throughout the day. The enemy, the father of lies, comes to you with lies all throughout the day, does he not? They're called the fiery darts of the devil. All day he says, you're not enough, you won't make it, they're going to die, your kid will never come back. And if you listen to lies long enough, you'll begin to believe it's the truth, unless you have the truth with you. Listen to what God's word says. When he lies, say, you're a liar. God told me this morning this. That's a lie from the pit of hell. God told me this. Believe what God says about your life, but how can you do it when you leave your sword at home? This is called the sword of the Lord. It's a sword. A sword is not a spoon. A sword pierces. What good would it be for a warrior to leave his sword at home and go into battle? The sword is not meant to be put in the sheath. It's meant to swing. So you got to have the Word of God, even if it's as simple as this, taking a photo of the verse. I've done that before, and I'll keep it in there. And sometimes I'll be stopped at a red light. I know you're not supposed to do this. I know, don't arrest me. And I'll look at it and say, that's what God said. And then throughout the day, that's what God said. Then at night, if I get discouraged, that's what God said. Chew on the Word of God. That's what he says. He said he'll meditate on the Word of God. So bring that with you. Chew on it as you need it. Review it. When you get to the end of the day, say, is there someone that I ran into, a mentor, a person? Oftentimes I'll go, wait a minute. That's what I prayed for, and I ran into so-and-so. And they told me this. And it confirms God's Word. So write it down, okay? So my final point, and this one's a big one. I'm going to get passionate. I'm not mad. I'm just going to get passionate. Is it okay if I get passionate for just a second? Then we'll close it up, all right? Get a readable Bible. Learn to read your Bible with a vetted commentary. Write down what God speaks to me. This is the most difficult. Give God your undivided attention. We are living in a world that is distracted. We are ADD. I'm one of them. But it's on steroids because we live in a scrolling generation. And they're making our attention span just go like, I used to be able to remember everything. Sometimes I'll walk into a room, I can't remember why I walked in the room. And it's because of our short attention span now that's happened. They say that Generation Z, I believe, has a 7-second attention span. A goldfish has an 8-second attention span. That's what's happening to us. Give God your undivided attention. I want to challenge some of you. When you are in your quiet time, you're having a one-on-one time with Jesus, leave your phone in another room. If you're going to meet your hero, let's say a celebrity, a sports, an athlete, and let's say you met them for lunch, and you sat down and you even brought your phone, you're thinking, oh no, I got my phone and my wallet, I meet my hero. But what if you took your phone and put it right there, and there's your hero? You know how disrespectful that would be? Like when I have a dinner with my wife, I don't bring the phone out, and here's why. If I bring the phone out when I'm having dinner with my wife, I'm saying you are important until something else comes up, then this is more important than you. That's what it's saying. You're important until Facebook comes up or this or that, leave it. Think about being with Almighty God, and God saying, Brent, I want to speak to you. Jesus Christ, who saved your soul, says, I want to speak to you this morning. I want to spend time with you this morning. And you say, great, let's spend time together. And we're reading, and then, bing, hold on, Jesus. And you ain't going to believe this, Jesus. Sally got that smiley face pancake. IHOP, look at that. I don't think Jesus is going to care what kind of pancake Sally got. Can you imagine how disrespectful that is to Holy God? Bing. Look, take your phone, put it in another room. Look, I know you got people to depend on you. They'll live. They'll live. They'll be all right. Put it in another room. Give your undivided attention to God. Here's why. The world is fighting for your attention. It's loud, it's busy, it's attractive, and it's distractive. But there's a God who wants your attention. He whispers. He's never too busy for you. All you have to do is be still and open your Bible. That's why the Word of God says, be still and know that I am God. Give him your undivided attention. This right here is the master of distraction. It started out as a tool. It's called an iPhone, but to many it's become an idol. Anything that gets more of your attention than God is an idol. Anything that gets more of your time than God is an idol. Anything that gets more of your emotional connection to God is an idol. Now let me ask you a very probing question. I ask myself this. I never ask you something that I don't ask myself. Has this become an idol? Because I'm going to be honest with you. At one point in my life, the people that do this are so smart at getting you addicted. They're so smart at doing that. They're just... And I would find myself over here in Evernote, little jotting stuff down that we need to do at the church. And I'd find myself texting encouragement to a friend. But then I'd hit Instagram. You know how it is. It just pulls you to it, don't it? It does, don't it? I'd see that and pull it. And some of us, it's going to pull us away and distract us. Because you see young people now, what do you see? When you look outside, you see this everywhere. I mean, they'll bump into a wall. You go to your restaurant today, and you'll see a family, and they're like this. Is it not true? And it can happen to the best of us. It happened to me. I mean, I was sitting there, and my finger just kept going back to Instagram. And one day I said, wait a minute, why the heck is my finger going back to Instagram? It was like, it's like a dang drug. And then I looked into it, and you know it's as addictive as cocaine? You get dopamine from it. So basically, we're taking a hit of the gram. For those police officers, it was just a gram. Some of you get that tomorrow. But it's true. We're getting that. And so what I did is I said, God, I want to be present because the gift that you gave me is time. You can get back money. You can't never get back time. God gave you time. That's his gift to you. What you do with your time is your gift back to God. And so I said, God, I'm going to take that off my phone. I'm not saying Instagram is bad, but I can't guard myself. So I put it on another computer, old computer, the thing, it barely can pull up Instagram. And so it frustrates me, so I don't even want to look at it. So at night, I may get on there and look, and you can't hardly post. I have to get my assistant to help me post stuff on there. It helped me because I became present. I became great because here's the thing, guys. This thing can steal the blessings of God in your life. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but has this tool now stood above everything in your life in terms of your time and attention? If it's taking time away from your wife, your children, your Bible, the Bible says those are blessings from the Lord. It's stealing the Lord's blessings from your life. I've done a lot of funerals. I've never done a funeral where someone said, man, you know, on their deathbed, but knowing they're about to die, I wish I would have spent more time on Facebook. I ain't met one yet. You know what they tell me? I wish I would have spent more time with my son. I wish I would have spent more time with my daughter. Wish I would have spent more time with my father. And they can. They're all around them, but they're doing this. The enemy wants to do anything he can to distract you from what's best for your life. He wants to distract you. I bought a flip phone. Some of y'all don't even know what that is. And when I had to go silent for a couple of days, it's because I shut the world off and I've got that flip phone. And ain't nobody got my number but my wife. That's the only person's name. If you need me, if somebody need me that bad, they'll call her. Let's take the addict test for just a second. We'll wrap it up. Let's say this phone was an alcoholic drink. Every time you picked it up, you took a drink. Whether that's Facebook, Instagram, or the news, you took a drink. Would you be drunk at the end of the day? You betcha. We'd all be going down to the AA this week, right? Let's say we took an illegal drug every time we opened up social media or the news or Facebook. Would we need rehab? You betcha we would. The enemy will use anything to get your attention, to get your affection, to get you in the world and out of the Word of God. I want to help you with this. You cannot hear God's voice when the volume of the world is turned up too loud in your life. It's time to turn the volume of the world down so that you can tune in to the whispers of God. Why? Because the will of God for your life is found in the Word of God. Now, I know that some of that is piercing to you. You should go to a church where oftentimes you're encouraged and oftentimes you're convicted. That's the Holy Spirit. If you go to a church and you never feel convicted, God ain't there. Right? Because it's not a spoon, remember? It's a sword. It's going to poke you. Here's what we can get better. You know what I love about Cascade Hills, though? You are such doers of the Word. You'll hear this and say, I hear that, God. I receive it. How do I get better? That's what I love about being your pastor. You are not one to go, okay, I hear it on Sunday. No, you are doers. I had a pastor come to me a while back in a restaurant. He said, I want to tell you, your church, if every church is like that, they are doers. He said, they're passing out invite cards everywhere. He said, they're serving people. He said, what are y'all doing over there? We're just teaching what God says. We love God. We follow. So it's a sword. So it's going to convict us where we need to get better. Now, it's also going to convict us on the most important matter, which is where we'll spend eternity. You know, the most people spend more time planning for a two-week vacation or their retirement than they do for where they're going to spend thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Did you know this? It's a scary thought, but the Word of God, it pierces us. Remember, it's a sword. It convicts us. Without conviction, there's no conversion. Do you know that the Word of God tells us that there will be more people that go to hell than heaven? I want you to listen to this video real quick and we'll wrap things up.
The majority of people who are alive today go to heaven, or will they go to hell? Now, I've never been to a funeral where the minister said, "Our poor departed brother is roasting right now in hell." Have you ever heard that? Now, in our supreme doctrine of justification in America is not justification by faith or even justification by works, but justification by death. Then almost everybody gets to heaven. Isn't that right, Jesus? Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Again, this is not my opinion. This is the teaching of the Lord Jesus. Now, here's what I hear Jesus say: that most, if not the vast majority of human beings that you know and that I know, are on their way to hell. And if they were to die tonight, would go to hell. Strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter, but they won't be able. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside to knock at the door, saying, "Lord, open to us," I tell you, I don't know where you come from. "Depart from me, all you workers of evil." They don't just say, "Who's ever in there, please open to us." They say, "Lord, Lord, open the door." And Matthew's version, he said, they will say to him, "Lord, Lord, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do that in your name?" And Jesus said, "And I will say to them, who are you? Please leave, you workers of iniquity." Now, he knows cognitively, every one of those people that's knocking at the door, but he doesn't know them savingly. You ever wonder what people are doing who are in hell? In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Some people, when they wake up in hell, will be devastated. And they won't find enough water in their eyes to satisfy their need to weep. They'll be sobbing, "Oh no, not here. Oh God, please have mercy upon me." It'd be the greatest disappointment they could possibly experience to wake up in hell. But then the other group will be there, won't be weeping a bit. They'll be gnashing their teeth, which is a biblical metaphor for human fury. "How dare you, God, put me here?" May you find yourself in agony. Because that's the word Jesus used when he says, "Strive to enter in the narrow gate." The word agon, which means use a Herculean effort. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Your works will never get you into the kingdom, but once in there, you're to work with all of your might. Don't turn to the left or to the right. No matter how many obstacles, how many enemies, how much opposition, there's a door. You know, Christians were first called the people of the way. And it was the narrow way that leads to life. Tonight, as you put your head on the pillow, I plead with you to ask yourself, am I numbered among the few or the many? God grant that your answer will be among the few.
I want to ask that same question. The Word of God is a sword. It pierces us. Are you under conviction right now that you don't know Christ, that you don't know where you'd spend eternity? Are you of the few or are you of the many? Do you know all about God or do you know God? Do you know 100% where you'll spend eternity? You ought to know where you'll spend eternity so much that you have such security you could swing over hell, you know, on a rotten vine. You ought to know with such security that if an angel were to come down right now and say, "I've got the Lamb's Book of Life. I know who all is in heaven. All you got to do is pay me a nickel and I'll tell you if your name's in here," you ought to say, "I wouldn't waste my nickel." But if there's something inside of you that says, "I'd give them everything I own to know if I'm going to heaven," I want to tell you, friend, with all the love in my heart, that you're lost and that you're here by divine appointment. You're not here because a buddy asked you to be here, but that you drove by and saw a big church and decided to come, or that you want to be a better person. You're here because there's a Father in heaven who is madly in love with you. And he's been pursuing you your entire life for this moment. And you have a choice in this moment: to reject him or to receive him. And buddy, when you receive him, you get more than you could ever imagine. You get forgiveness of sins. You get a relationship with your Creator. You get to have all of eternity with him. So the choice is yours: to receive Christ or to reject him. It's been my prayer all week long that those up under conviction would surrender their lives to Jesus. And if you want to do that, I want to lead you into prayer where you can do so right now. Would you bow your heads and just go to the Lord in prayer together? Father, thank you so much for these people. I ask first off that the entire congregation would begin praying very fervently, very hard for those who are here that need to follow Jesus. And then I ask the people here that you don't know where you'll spend eternity, but you want to know. If you want to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, and you want to be in heaven when this life's over, I'm going to ask you just to follow me in this prayer. There's nothing magical about the words of this prayer. This prayer is just you putting your faith in what Jesus Christ has already done for you. So say something like this, and you believe on it with everything you've got. Say, Father, forgive me of my sins. Father, I repent. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. Thank you. That should have been me. I believe that Jesus rose from the dead. I believe that Jesus is Lord. And the best way I know how, I ask you to come into my life. I receive your gift of salvation. And I give you my word, I will never be ashamed of you. For how could I be after all you've done for me? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I look right up out here. Nope, no one's leaving or getting up. This is the most holy part of the whole service. If you just gave your life to Christ, I am so proud of you. If you just gave your life to Christ, we are so proud of you. We want to celebrate this. But I want to tell you what's next. What's next is we're going to do what's called a public invitation. Here's why. Not that we want another name on the roll, or we don't care. You don't have to sign anything if you want to. We do this because everyone Jesus ever called, he called openly and publicly. People left their fathers, they left their mothers, they left their friends. He said, follow me. And they would leave it all and follow Jesus. And he's still saying the same thing perhaps in your heart today. Follow me. Doesn't matter what the person beside you thinks. Follow me. Doesn't matter the doubts you have. Follow me. Jesus says this. He says, if you deny me in front of men, now look around, there's a lot of people here, I will one day deny you in front of my Father. That means that you're going to have a one-on-one meeting with God one day. And the only question that's going to matter is, what did you do with Jesus? So I'm going to ask you, when we sing this last worship song, to get up out of your chair. If you're in the middle, the balcony, the back, if you're in the most difficult spot to get out, it don't matter. I'm going to ask you to get up out of your chair and come to one of these couples and say, I gave my life to Jesus. I prayed the prayer and I gave my life to Jesus. Here's what's going to happen. Everybody in here is going to break out in applause for you. We're going to bring you in the back. We're going to give you a Bible that you can read. We're going to high five you, hug your neck, tell you what's next. But now it's on you, okay? Only you can move those legs of yours, okay? Only you can make that decision. And I know what's going on inside of your mind right now, because I was once there. You're thinking, does it really matter? Should I? I don't know. What would the person next to me think? You've got more doubts in your mind right now than you've had in the last 30 days, because those are the fiery darts of the devil from the pit of hell. But you also got a voice saying, come on, just do it. Who's that? That's the Holy Spirit. How do I know that? He said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. If you've heard God's voice today, follow him no matter what. Make the first move, the first step, and the rest are easier. I'm going to count us down. You ready? One, were you serious about your commitment to God? Two, he died for you publicly on a cross. Would you be willing to publicly come forward for him? Three, make a move towards God. Make a move towards God. He loves you. Follow him.
He's got a great plan for
your life. Come to Christ. He loves you.
The reasons and ways. My heart needs a surgeon. My soul needs a friend. So I'm
God a hand for what he's done. He keeps coming. As others are still coming down, I believe the Holy Spirit's moving. And I believe there are many more people that they want to give their life to Christ, but maybe they just couldn't get the courage to do it. I want to do this. This helps so much. Each and every week we see tons of people come to Christ because of this. I'm going to ask our members just to turn to the people beside them, behind them, in front of them. Maybe you find somebody you don't know. And just say, if you want to go, I'll go with you. Would you do that? If you want to go, I'll go with you. If you want to go, I'll go with you.
My heart,
if you'd like to go, I'll go with you. If you'd like to go, I'll go with you.
Long before
if you'd like to go, I'll go with you.
First breath, running into your
Wow, that was church right there. I tell you what, I'm so blessed to pastor such people that have such a care for lost people. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep bringing lost people. How will they know unless we tell them? And I'd love to pray for you. When I look out here, I see all different. If you could only see what I see a lot of different faces. I see some faces that are stressed, some that are worried, some that are fearful, some that are battling stuff that I don't know of, some that are just hurting, some that are doing great. I don't know what you're going through, but I know someone who does. God knows what you're going through, and I would love to pray for you at this moment. So if you would, if you just hold your hands out like this, I want to bless you and just receive this. Father, I just come to you through the name and blood of your Son, Jesus. You said where two or more gathered, there you are. Father, I know that you know all things. Lord, you know what these people are going through. You know their hurts, their fears, their tears. You know the person that's walked out on them. You know the betrayal they are experiencing. You know the financial difficulty that they are battling. You know the health problems that they have. You know the victories, God, and we give you glory for that. But God, right now, I pray, Father, that you would look upon these people all throughout scriptures. You say that you would see someone and they would be hurting and you would stretch out your hand of compassion and heal them. I ask in the precious, powerful name of Jesus, would you stretch out your hand of compassion and heal these people where they need it? Let your will be done, Lord God, when it needs to be done. Give them what they need when they need it. In Jesus' name, amen.